wrath. I'm thankful for those many a time that God didn't stir up all his wrath toward me. I'm thankful for God's forgiveness. The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 3, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Amen. I bless the Lord for that. God's been good to me. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, amen. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ, amen. I hope that you know him. I hope that you have him, amen. There's just something about the name of Jesus, amen. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The Bible says in Philippians 2:8, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I bless the Lord tonight. There's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. Glad that I have him. I'm glad that I know him. Amen. Did y'all hear that story about that man that worried all the time? I mean, this man worried all the time. He'd bite his fingernails down to the quick. He just worried all the time. And his friends knew it. It was bad. I mean, he'd worry about every little thing. And finally, one day he came to his friends and he wasn't worried anymore, Brother Sean. He was calm. He was cool and he was collected. One of his friends said, what's gotten into you, man? You don't look worried anymore. He's like, yep, that's right. I don't worry anymore. I hired somebody to do my worrying for me. One of his friends said, what do you mean you hired somebody to do your worrying for you? He said, yep, that's right. I pay him $30 an hour and he does all my worrying for him. And they said, one of his friends said, well, how do you pay him $30 an hour when you only make $20 an hour? And the man said, I don't know. I let him worry about that. Amen. Well, I want to help you tonight and I want to communicate to you. Oftentimes, we'll hear people talk about church and they'll talk about how great church used to be 30, 40, 50 years ago, how great a church services we used to have. And, you know, we'd shout and they'd run the aisles and the power of God would come down when Brother So-and-so would preach or when this singing group would get up there and sing, the power of God would come down. And they always often talk about how great church used to be. You turn on the news, you hear about how great America used to be and you hear, make America great again. So that's what I want to preach on tonight. If God will help me, I want to preach on make church great again.
Amen.
Amen. Make church great again. Now, don't get worried. I don't have a political message tonight. I don't even have a Baptist message. Amen. I've got a Bible message.
Amen.
So take your King James Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Luke chapter number 24. Amen. Amen. I just want to reiterate and clarify my position. I'm King James only. Amen. God's been good to me to allow me to go preach all these other places and things like that. And I preach from a King James Bible when I go there, amen. And I hear these stories sometimes about, you know, somebody coming through and they'll preach King James here and they'll go preach New King James there, or they'll preach ESV there, and they treat it like the Book of the Month Club. It's because they don't believe that they've got a perfect Bible.
Amen.
And I believe that the King James Bible is a perfect Word of God. Genesis to Revelation, I believe it's inspired. I believe it's indispensable. I believe it's the Word of God and it's perfect, amen. And I'm not just trying it out. I believe that this is the perfect Word of God. And I think that if you don't believe that this is a perfect book, you've got no business standing behind a pulpit preaching to people that they ought to live by this book if you don't think it's perfect. Amen. But I want to help you tonight. I want to communicate to you. Luke chapter number 24. I'll begin my reading here in verse number 25. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that's talking here in Luke 24 in verse number 25. Make church great again. I want to help you. Amen. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Brother Sean McDaniel, would you pray and ask the Lord to help us?
Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful, Lord, to have opportunity to be in your house tonight.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, Brother Samuel, says, Father, for your perfect and inherent word, Lord, that you've left with us, Father. Oh, God, we love it, Lord. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, if you don't show up in here tonight, Father,
yes,
it's just going to be another gathering, Lord. I know Sam, I know my brother. what I know he's spent a lot of time in the oven, Father. God, he's been preparing this message. But God, if you don't preach it through him,
yes.
God, it won't mean anything.
That's right.
We'll not hear anything. Oh, God, I pray that you just move in a mighty, mighty way tonight, Lord.
Yes, help us, Lord.
Touch the hearts of your people, Father. And God, it starts with us, Lord. We have a responsibility, Father, to come in here tonight, Father, with our hearts prepared, Lord. God, to receive your word, Father. I hope we've done that, Lord. If we haven't done that, Father, now's the time to do it, Lord. God, I pray that we would prepare our hearts, Lord. I know you'll do your part, Lord. You said where two or three are together in your name. Lord, not in our name, Father. We shouldn't come in here tonight, Lord, with our own motives, Father, our own desires.
Yes.
But God, if we'll come here in your name, you'll be in the midst, Lord. Bless my brother tonight, Father. Bless him in a mighty way, Father. Hide him behind the cross. Use him, Lord. God, may we leave here tonight, Father, better than when we came.
Yes, please help us.
May we leave here tonight, Father, saying, oh, it's been good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
And we felt your presence. We love you, Lord. In your name do ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If church is going to be great, there's four things that we need. And I want to give you four quick points, and then we'll go home. You're in good hands tonight. There's nobody that's hungrier than me. Amen. And I just want to say that, number one, if a church is going to be great, number one, there's got to be anointed preaching. Number one, anointed preaching. If you look here in verse number 25 through 27, our Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to preach to these people. So number one, I want to say there's got to be anointed preaching. And if there ever was any anointed preaching, it was done by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the anointed one. Amen. So I want to say, Look down there at verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and unto all the prophets, he expounded unto them. He expounded unto them. So anointed preaching does a few things. And firstly, anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures. Amen. Anointed preaching is about preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about preaching the Bible. See, it's not all about just raising your voice and making a show, although that is needful. But it's about preaching the Word of God, and it's about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it says that Jesus expounded to them the scriptures. That Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and then exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. The Bible tells us how we ought to preach in Isaiah 28. It says it ought to be line upon line, precept upon precept. This good old fashioned Bible preaching still gets the job done. Amen. If I got up here all night and I told you a bunch of stories and I chased a bunch of rabbits or told you what I thought or told you what I feel or a bunch of opinions, that's not going to help anybody come tomorrow morning when the devil comes and attacks you and the world, the flesh, and the devil's after you. What's going to work is that good old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen. See, if we're not preaching the book, then nobody's going to get help come Monday. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, but if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Psalm 119:158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Why? Because they kept not thy word. So I want to say that anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures. But not only that, but anointed preaching, it exalts the Savior. Look down there in verse number 27. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How about that? Amen. So we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is basically taking these men back through a survey through the Old Testament. I just picture it in my mind that Jesus Christ is going from Genesis all the way to Malachi, pointing out himself to these men and opening up the scriptures to them. Maybe I can just see Jesus Christ saying, hey, boys, I was that voice in the garden talking to Adam. Hey, I was that Passover lamb in the book of Exodus that shed its blood to save the children of Israel. Hey, I was that manna that came down from heaven in the book of Numbers. Hey, I was the potter in Jeremiah chapter number 18. I can just see that Jesus began to show himself. And see, preaching, that's what we ought to do, is exalt the Savior. Amen? Anointed preaching, it exalts Christ, not the preacher. Amen. And that's what I want to do, because Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. Hey, I was headed to hell in a handbasket, and Jesus Christ reached down and he saved me, and he saved my life, and he put a King James Bible under my hand, and he called me to preach, and he gave me a good wife. Hey, and he gave me a roof over my head, and he saved my soul. He gave me a good pastor, and he gave me a church, and I love Jesus Christ tonight. I want to preach about Jesus Christ. I want to sing about Jesus Christ. I want to love him. I want to talk about him. I want to think about him. I want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I want to exalt Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's made the good times outweigh the bad. He's been the best friend I've ever had. Bless God. Amen. He's never left me. There's been many a time I've left him, but he's never left me. Amen. Jesus Christ is the best that there is. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 116 verse 1, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I shall live. Amen. So we see that anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures. It exalts the Savior. Not only that, but anointed preaching, it exposes sin. Amen. Notice how in verse 32, when Jesus began to preach to them, their hearts burned within them. So we see anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures. It exalts the Savior. It exposes sin. See, if you're not living right, that good old-fashioned Bible preaching, bless God, it'll convict you on the spot. Amen? That Bible says in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. Amen. That anointed preaching will get right there in the quick. Amen? See, when Peter was preaching over there in the book of Acts, it said they were pricked in their heart. Amen. And when Stephen was preaching in Acts, it said they were cut to their heart. That good old Bible preaching, it still works. It still gets the job done. Amen. So we see anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures. It exalts the Savior. It exposes sin. But not only that, anointed preaching exhorts the saints. Amen. Anointed Bible preaching feeds the flock. Amen. It motivates the church to keep on going for God. When pastor gets up here and he gets raring back and preaching, you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to fight. You know what I'm saying? And pastor talks about how he wants to go down with a sword. He wants to go down with a fight. And I don't really know if he means literal or metaphorically, but I'm down for whatever one, brother. I'm ready to fight, amen. That's what that anointed Bible preaching will do. Amen. And some of you may not know what I'm talking about. You're looking at me like I got three eyes. It's because you've never been in a fight. Amen. I don't recommend it, amen. But hey, everybody ought to get punched in the face at least once, amen. It'll make you a better man. Amen. Anointed Bible preaching, it exhorts the saints. So let me just exhort you for a minute if you're saved. You may not be an amener, you may not be a shouter, but let me just exhort you as if you're a saved person. Let me exhort you, and all you got to do is say amen. Let me give you just a few things. If you are saved, don't get happy or anything, but you're going to heaven when you die. You're going to be with Jesus Christ when you die. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hebrews 11:10, for we look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. You're going to heaven when you die. You'll be with Jesus Christ forever when you die. Amen. Not only that, but you get a mansion. You're going to have a mansion that Jesus Christ is going to give you up in glory. Right. Let not your hearts be troubled. Yeah. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you, and I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where there I am, you may be also. Amen. Going to heaven when you die. You got a mansion, but not only that, how about this one? Your sins are paid for. I bless the Lord that my sins are all paid for. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. That's a big deal. Amen. That Bible says when he had purged our sins, sat down to the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. It says over there in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in this, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. Amen. Your sins are paid for. Let me give you one more. You're not what you used to be. That's right. Amen. How about that? Amen. We're a brand new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Right. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That Bible says in Isaiah 42:16, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and will not forsake them, saith the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Amen. So we see anointed preaching, it expounds the scriptures, it exalts the Savior, it exposes sin, it exhorts the saints. Number two, I want to say that if we're going to make church great again, there's got to be accountability in the pews. Oh, yeah. Number two, accountability in the pews. Accountability in the pews. What I meant to say was accountability in the pews. Number two, accountability in the pews.
Amen, brother.
What I'm really trying to say is accountability in the pews. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, pastor can't live this Christian life for you. Amen. If he could, he would. Pastor can't make you pray. Pastor can't make you read your Bible. Pastor can't make you stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There's got to be some accountability in the pews. Look at verse number 29.
Good.
This is after they've heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Notice right there, and they constrained him. Well, let's look at 28. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he, that's Jesus, made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. So here we see Jesus Christ has just preached to them, and I can just see Jesus Christ kind of looking back after he's left them. It said he would have went further, but they constrained him. To constrain him means they grabbed a hold of him.
Amen.
They pulled
Amen.
Him back and said, no, Jesus, Amen. Don't go. We want you to abide with us. Amen. So accountability in the pews, firstly, there's got to be personal accountability.
Amen.
They wanted more. There was a hunger for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They had a desire to constrain Jesus Christ and to be close to him.
Amen.
They had a hunger for it. What about you? You have a hunger to be with Jesus Christ? Do you have a hunger for Jesus Christ to want to abide with you? Or just on Sundays or just on Wednesdays? The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you.
Right.
Y'all remember down there in the Old Testament when Jacob wrestled with the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. What did he do? It said he wouldn't let go of him.
Right.
He constrained him and said, abide with him. What about you? Do you want to constrain Jesus Christ? Do you want Jesus Christ to be with you, to be in your life, to be in your home? Do you want him to abide with you? Or is it just something that we do? Or are we all just in here playing church?
Come on,
amen. There's got to be accountability in the pews, and it starts with personal accountability. Each and every one of you, myself included.
Amen.
There's got to be personal accountability.
Amen.
Not only do we see personal accountability, but there's also got to be practical application.
Oh,
look at 31. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. There's got to be personal accountability. Amen. Let's see, the personal accountability, their eyes were opened. You see that in 31? Are your eyes opened? See, God's not going to meet with us if people aren't living right in the pews. And what's happened amongst Christianity and churches is we've lost our accountability.
Yeah.
Half of us leave our Bibles here as a placeholder to save your seat. God help us.
Amen.
And you could say, well, I've got another Bible back at the house, but I doubt you read it.
Amen.
Amen. Personal accountability. Amen. I also want to say there's got to be practical application. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. Our hearts burned within us. They both got something from the message Jesus preached.
Yeah.
How can we apply the preaching that we hear to our lives? There's got to be practical application. What we like to do is we like to say, oh, well, that message would have been good for brother so-and-so. I sure hope that brother was listening because that preaching was coming right to them. Or man, I wish that so-and-so would have showed up. That would have been a good message for them. What about you?
That's right, brother.
You know, somebody will get to preaching and you'll see somebody kind of doing this. You know, the preacher gets to preaching about how kids ought to act and how parents ought to act, and you'll see the parent kind of look over at their kid. Are you listening? What about you? What did God show you? What are you going to do with it? There's where the practical application comes in. They said, our hearts burned within us. But not only that, but look at 33. So their hearts burned within them. There's practical application. It said, and they rose up. That preaching called them to action.
Yes.
It's one thing to get all stirred up in the house of God, but what are you going to do when you take it out there?
Right,
it's got to be practical application. How can I apply this preaching to my life?
Amen.
They rose up. How's your walk? How's your application?
Yeah.
To what we hear good Bible preaching week in and week out, but what do you do with it?
Good.
How's your walk?
Yeah.
Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise,
Amen.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise,
yeah.
but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Amen.
Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Hey, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
It's got to be practical application. Personal accountability, practical application, but also there's got to be public announcement. Look at verse 34. Notice the progression after they heard the message. So 33, they rose up, but then 34, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and hath appeared to us. Look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way. Public announcement. They told what things were done. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. When's the last time you told anybody the things that God had done in your life?
Good,
I'm being dead serious right now. We can get 100 people together to go up there and eat for a banquet that half of you didn't even cook anything for. But when we go out there to street preach and there's 4 people that show up. When's the last? And you don't have to come street preaching with us, but ask yourself this question. When's the last time I told anybody what Jesus Christ had done in my life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just something so simple as, hey, I was going to hell and Jesus Christ saved me. Hey, I used to do these things, but now I don't do them anymore because Jesus changed my life. Hey, Jesus Christ is the best there is. What about the waiter at the restaurant? What about somebody in the drive-thru line? What about your neighbors? Public announcement. When's the last time you told anybody the things that God had done in your life? When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? Ask yourself that question. I would hate to have to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat never having led somebody to Jesus Christ. Never even trying. When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time we did anything for Christ publicly and not just at church? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, amen, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Are you listening?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
There's got to be accountability in the pews, and it starts with us. Amen? Number two, I want to say there's got to be an acceptable program. Look at verse 52. To make a church great, there's got to be, number one, anointed preaching. Number two, there's got to be accountability in the pews. Number three, there's got to be an acceptable program. And verse 52 shows us exactly what that program ought to be. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. I'm not talking about a program in the terms of a menu or a structure, but I'm talking about an acceptable program and the way that what we prioritize. Firstly, Christ has got to be the focus. Amen. Look right there, verse number 52. And they worshiped Him. Let me just pause right there. And they worshiped Him. They didn't worship a man. They worshiped Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ has got to be the focus in the church. Christ must be the focal point of the church. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, upon Jesus Christ I'll build my church. Amen. He didn't say, upon this YouTube channel I'll build my church. He didn't say, upon this Facebook page I'll build my church. Oh my. I done lost my amens right there. He said, upon Jesus Christ I'll build my church. And that's the rock right there. Amen. They were focused on worshiping Christ. And I fear God tonight, friends. Amen. And I fear not preaching what God's laid upon my heart a whole lot more, whether I fear if y'all like it or not. Amen.
Amen.
I want to mind the Lord.
Amen,
acceptable program. Christ is the focus. Secondly, I want to say Christians got to be in fellowship. Look right there at the last part of verse number 52. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. A mark that you're in fellowship with Jesus Christ is you've got joy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. The only way that you can have true joy is to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't have worship. We can't have the Holy Spirit coming in here and meeting with us if half of us are right and half of us aren't.
That's right, brother.
Amen. The Bible says that we ought to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to fix our heart before we walk in there. I have to do it on every time I come here. I've got to check myself before I come in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And it starts with us. It starts with us looking at our own heart and looking at our own life. Are we hungry? Do we want something from God when we come in here? Or we do this out of religion, or out of routine, or out of habit, or out of a ritual. Christ is the focus, Christians in fellowship. I want to say also, church is fun. Look right there, verse 53. Acceptable program. Church can be fun. Amen? And they were continually in the temple. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I just can see that if they were in church continually, they were continually in the temple, they must have had some enjoyment of being at church.
Amen.
Church must have been fun. Hey, I don't think there's anything more important going on in Knoxville than what's going on in here right now. And it's not because I'm preaching. It's because we've got a King James Perfect Bible. We've got a Savior that bled and died and saved our souls from hell. We've got something to preach about. We've got something to sing about. Amen. This is the most important thing that you could be doing is worshiping Jesus Christ right now. And church can be fun.
Amen.
Do you look forward to coming to church? Or do your youth, do y'all parents just drag you here? Or do you guys look forward to coming here? I'm talking about, do you look forward to coming here because you want to worship Jesus Christ or because you want to see your friends?
Good,
And there's nothing wrong with having friends, but I'm saying Jesus Christ has got to be the focus. Amen. There's nothing more important going on. I have fun at church. I really do. You could say that I'm boring, but I have fun at church. I like to get up here and shout and get happy in the Lord. There's no place I'd rather be. I love this church. And I have fun at this church. It's okay to be joyous in the Lord and to be happy. Some of us really need to get fed when we come in here. Amen. And some of us each week we're holding on by a spiritual thread just waiting to come back in here and get fed weekly at church. So we ought not ruin it. Those of you that don't even want to be here and you're just moping through, don't ruin it for those who truly want something from the Lord. Amen. There's got to be anointed preaching. There's got to be accountability in the pews. There's got to be acceptable programming. And my last point here, number four, I want to say, look at verse 53. There's got to be audible praise. Audible praise. Verse 53, they were praising and blessing God. When was the last time you praised God? How long will you be sour with the Lord? I wish I had a little hidden camera up here sometimes. You ought to see it from up here. My soul. Last time you praised God, how long will you be sour? Scowl on your face, put a mad in church. Big tough guy, mad in church. Are you kidding me? Aren't you saved? Because the Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 2, Brother Randy, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. I bless the Lord. I love this church. I love coming to church. I don't want to be sour toward the Lord. It can happen to all of us. Shake that thing off, though. Hey, get a smile on your face. Bless God. Aren't you going to heaven when you die? The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 8 through 9, for, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for he hath broken the gates of brass, and he hath cut the bars of iron in sunder. That's what he did to me. Amen. He broke the gates of brass. He cut the bars of iron in sunder for me. Amen. What about you? Not only that, we ought to have something to shout about. We've got to shout for the Lord. Amen. They were praising and blessing God. Christ gave his life for us that the church shouldn't be dead. Amen. And let me tell you something, that Christ, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Not a whisper. Hey, man, right there. Not a whisper. What are some of y'all going to do? I just don't like it when he gets loud like that. When Jesus Christ comes back with a shout, neighbor, hey! He's coming back with a shout. Amen. What are some of y'all going to do?
Oh, that's too loud, Jesus.
Amen, he's coming back with a shout, bless God. Those walls of Jericho fell down with a shout. Amen, not a whisper. You got to have a little bit of shout about you. Amen. Because there ought to be audible praise in the church house. Yes, we shout at the football game. I guarantee you there was a whole lot of shouting going on. We're not going to mention that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That was... The altar's open. Amen. But hey, we shout when Rocky Top comes on. We can't shout for the Lord. Shout for the Lord. We ought to sing for the Lord. You enjoy singing for the Lord? Half of us don't even sing. You still got a song? Or has this world just got you so beat down? The devil's just stolen your joy. You don't even have a song. Just gloom, despair, and agony on me. You still got a song? David said, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. We got something to sing about. Hey, do you still have a song? Does your testimony, does it make a difference on anybody? Has your testimony made a difference in anybody else's life? Let me just ask you just a few questions. I want you to think on this. Do we want church to be great, or we want church just to be a little social club?
Yes, sir, brother.
Want church to be great? We've got to have anointed preaching, accountability in the pews, an acceptable program, audible praise. I'll end with this right here. What can you do to help make church great again?
Good question.
Amen. Amen. I'm done. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for an opportunity, Lord. I pray that Lord, that we would take this time as a serious moment, Lord, to reflect on our life, Lord. Reflect on what does church mean to us, Lord? Is it just something that we do out of habit, Lord? And I pray that we could be honest, Lord, and that people would come down to the altar and just say, Lord, I want to do more for you, Lord. I want to love you more, Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's the best that there is. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that washed our sins away, Lord. And we want to make church about Him. We want to be better Christians, Lord, and that we would just be honest with ourselves tonight and just ask ourselves, what can we do to be better Christians? What can we do to help our church, Lord God? We love You and we thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for another opportunity to preach, Lord. I pray that You move in this hour, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.